What's up? You guys are listening to a Velvet's Edge podcast. I am here with Dr. Roy Von Tama. I have to really like focus when I say your last name.
No, you got it. That's it right there.
Von Tama.
Von Tama.
Okay. And you're a radiation oncologist in LA.
Right.
I'm in LA, by the way, for everyone listening. Okay. Can you explain to everyone what that is?
Okay. A radiation oncologist is a cancer therapist that uses technology like MRI, PET scan, and CT scan to focus high energy radiation to tumors in the body. So we work with all sorts of cancers. So people are like, oh, do you specialize in cancer? Well, actually we specialize in like a modality, meaning radiation.
Okay.
So basically if you had, say you had breast cancer, where we use radiation to help decrease the local recurrence in the breast. So we treat either a part of the breast or the whole breast after you had surgery.
Okay, so it's after you have surgery to remove the cancer, and it just kind of makes sure there's nothing left.
Exactly.
What's the difference between that and chemo, though?
Well, chemo, so radiation is a local treatment, so it only works where you're aiming the beam. Like, say, if we're only aiming the breast or part of the breast.
Yeah.
You're only hitting that area, and we only deal with that area. But chemo is theoretically supposed to affect the whole body.
Right. So, like, if your cancer had spread, you would probably get treated with chemo?
Well, or sometimes if you think it might spread, then you'd give chemo anyway, too.
There's
certain cases where you do both. Like, for example, we're talking about breast cancer already. So for most, if you're, like, a little bit higher risk, you'll get surgery. Then you'll get chemo to deal with systemic possible spread.
Okay.
And then you'd get radiation to deal with the local recurrence.
Spot.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it. So what you specialize in is the radiation
exactly.
part of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we found each other through my friend Annie Saltieres, who I've also done a podcast with. She's a stylist here in LA. And we talked about on our podcast how she had been diagnosed with breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave me all the permission to talk about this. But she said that in her journey with that, you were just life-changing. And you have been, because she went to you and you were treating her with radiation. But you said, she said the two things you said is radiation is going to work, but it's not going to be enough. So you've got to change your diet, you've got to meditate, and if you have anything emotional, you have to fix it.
Mm.
Do you remember saying that to
her?
Yeah,
yeah, I do. I
and
do.
She said she started crying.
Because she
was
emotional.
Like, I have so much emotional stuff.
Yeah, no, she's really, she's very dynamic as a person, as
right.
you know. So, you know, most people, yeah, I did say something like that to her. Most people, here's the thing. Most people don't want to hear that they have to do something. They have to take ownership.
Right.
So there's actually quite a bit of research.
The lifestyle change
part. Yeah. I mean, because if you think about it, your habits and all the way you think, the way you've felt, the way you've dealt with things,
yes.
the way you've exercised, all that stuff are habits. And if I walk in and you're not open to hearing that you need to change those things, it's really hard. So usually I'll ask them, I'm like, you know, so you're getting radiation, you know, how, you know, do you want to know anything more? And they're like, like what? And I'm like, well, like, where, how's your diet? And they're like, oh, it's great. I eat whatever I want. And I'm like,
yeah, but that's
and so if they're there and they'll be like, how about salads? And they'll be like, I have to eat salad. Okay. So if you're on the, I have to eat salad tip, you're not getting into the meditation. You're not getting the emotional work.
Baby steps.
But Annie was really open to hear, oh, no, I'm already doing that. I'm already doing this. I really don't want this thing to come back. I want to be healthy. I was like, okay, you want to hear what I have to say? And then she was like, yeah, okay. So for those people who are listening and like are on that tip, it's all about ownership, you know?
Okay.
And I have a book coming out called Healing Before You're Cured. That's basically exactly that. And it's like, you have to look at yourself and really introspect and say, you know, what got me here? You know, I'm not talking about blame though, because a lot of times people are like, oh, you're blaming me. You'll feel guilty. I'm like, no, those aren't positive either. Blame, shame, guilt is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, okay, let's look objectively. What have you been doing up to this point? For example, like one of the big things I talk about with patients that are open and in my book is the role of trauma and the role of emotional emotional impact in your life and how you've dealt with that and how it affects your prognosis and what are you going to do? So basically, I've been thinking this for a long time, but then actually there's been quite a bit of research coming out lately showing that, for example, if you had trauma in your childhood, it doubles the risk of your cancer.
Really?
So yes.
This is fascinating to me. Wait, I have to backtrack for a second because I feel like most doctors that you go to are like, take this pill, let me do this surgery.
Right.
And all of these things. And nobody looks at like exactly what you're talking about, like the emotional aspects of stress on our body or trauma, what we're putting in our bodies.
Right.
So like, how did you even, what made you want to look at both sides of that?
Well, my whole family is cancer doctors. I grew up, like my friend said to me, he goes, when I think of cancer, I think of you.
Really?
I'm like, okay.
Thanks.
I was like, I think thanks. So, basically, I my dad was one, and I was always in his clinic. So, but then I'd see like his the guy. So in radiation, you have a doctor and a physicist that plans the treatments. His physicist got lung cancer and died, and I was like, how could? And I was like eight.
Right.
I was like, how could he get lung cancer and die? But he's the one that's supposed to be curing it. One of the guys. And my dad's like, well, we don't do well with lung cancer. And I was like, well, so I started even at a young age. I was like, well, something's not right. We're not doing something. Something's not right. And so all through my life, I've always been kind of looking and looking at other ways, you know, and what I always found was that like with Western treatment, it's great. There's $7 trillion of research.
Right.
But on the East, there's 7,000 years of experience.
Right. So you combine the two.
You combine the two. So why wouldn't you? You
right.
think about it, like, why would you go to a buffet and only eat the meat? Why wouldn't you look at the salad? Or conversely, why would you only look at the salad and not eat the meat?
Right.
The answer is to do both. The answer is to look in the middle. Does that make sense?
So much sense. Yeah. Yes. So in your book, you kind of dive into all of that. And like, what do you, there was a tagline I read with your book. What is it? An evidence-based guide to taking control of your body and mind.
Mm-hmm.
So there's evidence. Because I think a lot of times people are like, oh, the spiritual aspect of this, like you can't buy in.
Right.
So you were starting to talk about this. Like, what's the evidence that you're talking about?
Yeah. So for me, that's really big because I'm Western trained. I went to school 26 years.
Right.
I can't just say things. You
know?
I have to have, you know, some people are like, oh, this does this. But for example, we were talking about the emotional basis, a traumatic basis of disease. There's a very large study that came out through Kaiser called the ACEs study. It's an adverse childhood experience study.
Okay.
And they found that if you have, they basically had 10 questions and they looked, and if you had one or two or three or four, the more you had, the more chance you'd have disease, the more chance you'd have depression, more chance of suicide, more chance of cancer. So then I started, you know, and there's a few studies like that. And there's another study that looked at, for example, it's not just childhood stuff, but even if you went through something really traumatic as an adult and you weren't able to deal with it, they found the increase in breast cancer with people that have been through emotional trauma too.
What is that from? Like just holding stress in your body?
So, okay. So think about this. So if you had to define resentment, how would you define it?
Like how it feels?
Okay, whatever,
like in my gut. I felt sick at my gut the second you even said that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, are we doing therapy now?
No, go ahead, yeah. Well, this is how it works.
I felt sick at my stomach and it tightened my shoulders. Like, anger comes up, all of those things.
Okay, so can you think of a situation where you were resentful? I don't know if you want to get into this.
Maybe I won't say specifically, but I can think of a situation.
Okay, so you think of... But it happened in the past, right?
Yes.
And you still know what it feels like,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do.
So there's a couple of things. So we won't talk about it. But one, it's still in you.
Right.
You haven't actually processed it. You haven't actually forgiven it. You haven't actually done the work in that the resentment. So the resentment really is a thought saying this shouldn't have happened to me.
Right.
And you're angry about it.
Right.
Okay. Now think about this. Think about if you're 11 and your uncle abused you.
Right.
Sexually or physically or whatever. You say this shouldn't happen, but you don't have the tools to deal with any of this.
Of course, because you're a kid.
And you're a kid. So what do you do? You just put it to the side.
Right.
Bury it. Yeah. You just try to survive. Like, I don't want to see my uncle or whatever. I just try to avoid him. And then you're like 18. You're like, phew, I get to go to college or whatever. That's over.
Yeah.
Right. But it's still in you. Something bad happened to you. really bad,
right,
and you're angry about it, and there's this trauma that's been sitting in your body, it doesn't go away. So what do you do? Well, then you start partying, you start drinking, you start hanging out, maybe having too much sex, or whatever you do,
just
drugs.
Just medicate it away.
Just do whatever you want. But that energy's still in you.
Right.
Resentment. So if you think of what resentment is, if I had to define it, it's a feeling that something shouldn't have happened to you, but it's an anger and it's deep. And if you think about what emotion it might be rage.
Yeah.
And if you think about what rage is this anger that doesn't care about where it is, doesn't care about what's around it, that puts holes in walls, all sorts of stuff. That's rage, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you think of what cancer is. That's exactly what cancer is. It's a disease that doesn't care where it is, destroys everything around it, and destroys the organism that it's in. It does not care.
So
if you look at it that way, then resentment is cancer. Cancer is this thing, this energy that you haven't dealt with. So that's kind of how I, you know, if you want to, that, I mean, that's one aspect. So now we go from me being like this, you know, that's pretty kind of an integrative thought process.
Right.
And people are going to be like, well, what about genes? What about my family history?
Right.
What about all that? Of course. There's genes involved. There's also the way that you think,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's a field called epigenetics. Epi means above from Greek. So epigenetics means the things that are above the genes that affect the genes. So there's research also showing that the way that you think affects your gene expression. It doesn't affect the actual gene structure, meaning the actual nucleotides, but it affects what genes get expressed. So meaning if you're thinking really negatively all the time, mm-hmm. like that shouldn't happen, mm-hmm. I can't do the blah, 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 it starts to damage your DNA.
Really?
Yeah, and it causes a mutation in your DNA. And it causes, there's a structure called the telomere that actually is involved in the replication of DNA. And that actually can get shortened if you're thinking negatively a lot. And they found people with depression, for example, have shortened telomeres. So you're basically stressing your body, your genes, with the way that you're thinking, like, I'm a piece of crap, this is no good, my life sucks, da 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 da. So they found that actually affects your gene structure. So now you're looking at things, now we're talking about the way that you think, the mm-hmm. way that you feel, mm-hmm. you know, you already know diet, we already know diet, sleep, exercise.
Right. Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are easy. But now we're talking this other mm-hmm. stuff. Now we're talking about, you know, this is why I talk about like ownership though, because mm-hmm. like you have to really decide, sit down and say, I want to be healthy. I want to be different. I want
right.
to be out. But do you really want to do that?
Right.
Do you really? So let me tell you a little bit. So like in heart attacks, they did research. And they said, okay, dude, you almost died. You're 50, right? You're overweight, you smoke, and you don't exercise. So if you have a family, right? So say you're this guy. What percentage, if I told you stop smoking, eat better, lose weight, and exercise. Lose weight. Let me see what the three are, yeah. Losing weight, exercise, mm-hmm. and eat better.
Mm-hmm.
Out of those three, and you agreed to all three.
Yeah.
After 6 months, what percentage are doing one of the three?
I'll just try 50%. We'll just say that.
25%.
25.
How many are doing all three?
None.
3%.
3 to 5%. Even after they almost died.
Even if they almost died. So,
wow.
So then are you saying, so then you're like, okay, why? Why? Well, because in your life you have you have habits, right? And I talk about the laws of motion, like you have momentum. You have momentum. There's energy pushing you to be static. If you are looking at that and you're looking at this momentum of your life, it's very hard to, on a second, just change all three because you're living in the same house. You're living with the same person. You're living the same life. You have the same job.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's not about trying to change things in 6 months. It's more about like, look, let's take one thing. Let's build a new cycle in your body. Let's do one thing.
Right. So like, I know specifically with Annie, she told me that, well, and I've experienced this with her. She now meditates twice a day.
Perfect.
Which I hate to meditate. Like I find it to be the most, I love therapy. I love working on getting stuff out, connecting. Yes.
Yeah.
Meditating. Not so much mm-hmm. because I sit there for 2 seconds and I'm just like off worrying mm-hmm. or thinking about my to-do list. Mm-hmm. So one, why do you think meditating is so important? And then two, do you have any recommendations?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So let's deal with you first. So you just said that you're, you know, so for my background, I've meditated over 7,000 hours of meditation. I lead meditations.
You love to meditate.
It's my jam.
Okay. Yeah.
So the research behind it is this. If you do 7 minutes twice a day, which is 90 minutes a week, okay. It decreases anxiety, decreases really? Depression, rewires your brain, decreases stress hormones, improves your sleep, improves your relation. It improves almost every single thing in your life.
7 minutes a day or seven minutes twice a day?
7 minutes twice a day.
Okay.
7 minutes twice a day adds up to 96 minutes.
Okay.
You can skip one period a week.
Okay.
And then, but my point being is, it's not that much, just 7 minutes.
Right.
It's like, it's getting this habit. So then we talked about momentum before. So it's so for in your case, for example, like, okay, I have these thoughts, right? But guess what? I have these thoughts too. The difference is that you have to understand that you are now seeing the thoughts that you have going through your mind that you didn't see before. So all you have to do...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Because they're always there.
They're always there.
It's just like subconscious. You just didn't see them. You're worrying or you're doing whatever. Yeah. It's not even... in awareness of it.
Right. So right away you have awareness. You're already deeper than you were right before you started. So it's actually the judgment of what you're thinking. You're like, oh, I shouldn't be thinking.
Yeah.
You just don't understand that meditation isn't that. Meditation is the process of looking in. So if you have a thought, great. Now you know you have a thought. You're deeper than you were. Hmm. Now you bring your mind back.
To what though?
Bring it back to this center place. So for example, like say if we're meditating, it's weird to do on a podcast, so we won't do it. But let's say if I'm meditating and I'm like, oh shoot, I'm supposed to make lunch and I have that meeting at 4:00.
Right.
Okay, let's bring the mind back to the breath. Yeah, but what about that meeting at 4:00?
Right, that's exactly what happens to me.
And then you bring the mind back.
Yeah.
Bring it back to the breath.
Just to my breathing.
Bring it, just bringing it back is a victory. Because you're bringing your mind back to center. It has nothing to do with not thinking. It has to do with the effort you're making to have peace, to bring it back there. It's not having peace. Having peace is the result. You can't control that.
Yeah.
You can't control that. You can control bringing your mind back. And if you all for all 7 minutes was bringing your mind back for 7 minutes all the time, you're successful even though you think you're not.
Really?
Absolutely.
So what does that help? I mean, Annie, to me, I've even witnessed a difference in her. We both have pretty high stress, intense,
sure.
constantly like doing things for other people kind of jobs. Mm-hmm. And so it can be tasking. And she definitely set boundaries with that. And then the meditating, though, I can tell it's like she actually does it for 20 minutes twice a day. So
awesome.
She's like,
gotta send her an email.
All the way up.
Okay, so here's the thing. So there's probably something that you're not doing when you're trying to meditate.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna tell everybody who's listening too. It's real simple.
Okay.
You have to have physical relaxation before you have mental relaxation.
So what do you do? Lay down?
No. I'm gonna tell you to do it right now.
Okay. Right now?
Right now. So close your eyes.
Okay.
So inhale real deeply. Tense your whole body as hard as you can. And then exhale. Inhale. Tense your whole body as tight as you can. Everything. Your face, everything. Tense it all. Exhale. One more time. Inhale deep. Tense your whole body. Exhale and relax. Where are you right now?
I am sitting here with my eyes still closed.
Okay.
Yeah, that was crazy.
So what happened? What just happened?
I felt my shoulders like release.
Okay.
Which was huge for me. I carry a lot of like tension or stress all the time, just in my shoulders. Mm-hmm. And I won't even realize it, but I'm walking around with my mm-hmm. shoulders up to my ears, mm-hmm. you know? I didn't actually have any thoughts. That was weird.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was like a victory?
That's a victory. So you just realized where your tense was. You let it go.
Yeah.
So we did a couple things. I made you, your body doesn't know how to relax.
Okay.
But it knows how to tense. So we make it tense and then it doesn't like to do what it's told. So it does the opposite.
Yeah.
So by tensing your whole body, it causes it to relax. So you go to full tension because that's how we know how to do that. You know how to do it. Your shoulders do it all the time.
Yeah.
So I force you to do it. You mentally, consciously do it. Then you relax
it
all with the breath. And do it 3 times and just sit there. And then you keep your mind, if you can, you kind of keep your eyes closed and keep your mind at Indians call it Kutasta Chaitanya, which is like the spiritual eye between your eyebrows, about 0.6 inches outside of your eyebrows, and just kind of keep your eyes kind of up. So if you keep your eyes kind of looking at me, for example, you're looking at me right now, you're in the conscious mind. If you look down, you're in the subconscious mind. If you look up, you're in the superconscious mind. So now we're delving into a more of a meditative kind of thought part of the... So if you just do that, even just the breathing also hyperoxygenates your body.
Right.
Okay. And the exhale, inhale, you're letting out carbon dioxide, letting out toxins, inhaling oxygen. We're relaxing the body. And then you just, you can sit there and just breathe normally. Just do it 3 times. Just sit there. And all of a sudden it'll be 5 minutes. And you won't even know it.
It just goes by.
And it goes by.
And how, so, okay, how does meditation directly keep you from disease, I guess, is the question. Because, I mean, I agree with you. Like, I think stress causes so much. And Americans especially. Like, we are just walking around stressed out all the time. So what does that specifically do? Like, what's your evidence, I guess?
Sure. So, there's lots of studies showing that it does improve all the factors. But let's just talk about what stress is. What is stress? So stress is a bunch of things. It's that tension in your shoulder.
Yeah.
It's the things that you're thinking. Mm-hmm. It's the things that you're eating. Stress is anything that impacts the body in a negative way, basically. And you can define it as that. So if, for example, you're holding tension in your shoulders all the time, that's stressful for your body. So you just release that. You've decreased stress. You've decreased, there's a term called allostatic load. It's kind of, it's basically the stress of the what you're placing on your body all the time. Mm-hmm. So if you think that your schedule's overloaded all the time, you have no time, that's stress.
Right.
If you're holding tension in your shoulders, that's stress. If you've decided to have 5 shots of vodka instead of herbal tea, that's stress. If you decided to have French fries instead of like baked potatoes or whatever, that's stress. So what meditation does, though, is says, okay, all that stuff is fine, but what you need to do is get your mind to stop doing what it's doing, trying to get it to slow down a little bit. So by relaxing the body and relaxing the mind, you start to decrease the cortisol level in your body, decrease the all the adrenal hormones that are going on. Because if you're in mind, I don't have time, I gotta go, I have to have 20 minutes. You're firing your cortisol system, you're firing your adrenal, your sympathetic nervous system.
Yeah.
You're constantly firing it. If that's really high all the time, it leads to increased disease, leads to increased cancer.
It's so funny you brought up adrenals, because I see this holistic doctor in Nashville, and she does all the testing with like the arms and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I went to her, I guess this was like a year and a half ago. She's totally changed my life for me with supplements, though. But
you're
total
adrenal fatigue.
Adrenal fatigue, yes. Which can lead to like leaky gut and all kinds of disease, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that, you know, taking herbs is good.
Right.
The thing is, though, I'm more about like, okay, let's look at herbs is good. Keep taking them.
Right.
But then let's add patterns. Let's add habits in your body that will prevent you from needing to have to take
exactly
herbs, you know,
because your body balances itself out,
you don't
need the extra help.
So for example, say if you start meditating now because we have this talk or whatever, and you're doing, oh my god, I keep having the same thought, you know, then you pull out your journal.
Okay.
Then you start writing about what is that thought, and you just get it out of you.
Yeah.
So there was research on journaling. Journaling actually decreases anxiety, decreases stress as well.
I 100% buy into that.
Yeah, of course.
You just got to get it out of your body.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
So it's not that having stress is necessarily bad. It's that we don't allow it to leave.
Okay. Yeah.
You bring the thought in, then you hold it in your body, like, oh shit, I have so much to do, blah, blah, blah. But then you never go,
right.
So journaling is another way to get it out. Exercise is another way to get it out. Sleep is another way. Meditation is another way. So I'm just adding another thing into your armamentarium. The difference is with meditation is that it's proven to rewire your brain. It's proven. If you can start bringing your mind away from those negative thoughts and focusing it in a center place. So let's just jump to one more thing, since, you know, we're kind of ranging all over the place. But it's not just taking your mind off of negative things. It's replacing a negative thought with a positive thought.
Okay.
Okay. So can you tell us a thought you're having that's repeated that's negative about yourself? Do you like this podcast?
I'm taking
over your podcast.
Okay, that's negative about myself. I mean, I think I can analyze everything about myself.
Just think one thought. Just give me one.
One thought is that...
That you want to share.
Oh, do I? That I want to share. One thought that I've really had a hard time letting go of lately is I'm spread too thin, so I suck at everything.
Ah, yeah. So it's a self-worth type of thing. Yes. Like, I'm not good at this. Yes. I'm not good.
Yes.
Okay, so let's think of a thought. Let's think. So that's the negative thought we've come down to. I suck. I suck at this. Yeah. I'm no good at this. Okay, so that's a repeated thought going on in your mind.
Okay.
So now we know that that thought, as we said before, is affecting your stress load, affecting your gene structure. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's making you unhealthy. Mm-hmm. You agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, do you agree that we need to change that thought?
Yes.
Okay, so we have buy-in from you. Okay, so now you have to, I'm going to help you though. Let's come up with a thought to replace that thought.
Well, wouldn't it just be the opposite of like...
Well, what is the opposite?
I'm good at this. Or I'm enough, I'm worthy, all of those things.
What one, okay, those are all really nice. What one actually is true though for you?
For me, let me think, okay. I think I'm enough.
I'm enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, let's see if we can find a how about I'm always doing my best.
Okay. Yes, that feels true.
I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah.
I'm doing, you know, I always do my best.
Okay.
And something like that. Okay. So that's what I'm sensing. I'm kind of getting from you is like you always do your best though.
Oh, I want to fight you on that right now.
Okay, but you're always trying.
I'm always trying to do my best.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. I'm not talking about perfectionist. I'm talking about doing your best. Yeah.
I've talked about that a lot on this podcast.
So this is another issue. Okay. But this particular thought.
Got loads for you here.
This particular thought though, you know, so I'm no good. Okay, fine. I'm doing the best I can. I always do my best.
Yeah.
I always try my hardest. I always do my best.
So rewiring my brain to think.
I'm doing my best. Yeah.
So someone told me once, like,
how about this? I'm doing my best.
Doing my best.
So now when you're not, now when you have time, you just think, I'm doing my best.
But what if you're not doing your best?
I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm talking about doing your best in this particular moment. Yeah. If you have 4 hours of sleep, you went out the night before. Right. I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the best I can.
Okay.
It's changing that thought, like, I suck. Why did I forget the charger in the hotel room? What the hell is wrong with me?
Right.
Like, I'm doing the best I can.
Right.
So it's like changing those thoughts around and giving yourself an affirmation instead of a positive affirmation instead of a negative affirmation.
Yeah.
So it's replacing these thoughts and giving yourself a positive one. Meditation will flatten out the negative one. But if you think about your thought processes are like electrical patterns in your brain. So if your thought is always going to this one thought, you're creating a well-worn path in your brain. Yeah. I'm making circles with my hand. Now it's creating a momentum of the thought. So if you're ever in that situation, you're constantly, anytime you're in that situation where you're not doing something perfect, you keep thinking this thought.
Yeah, and it is. So it's just a vicious
cycle. It's just always going. So you created a huge momentum of this neuronal pattern. Now I'm telling you, we need to create a new pattern in place of that. It's going to take time because there's no path for it.
Right.
It's like if you're going through the forest and you're trying to make a path, it's going to take time, but you just got to think like, I'm doing my best. I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the best I can.
So you're just rewiring your brain.
You're rewiring your brain. You're rewiring your brain. I'm doing the best I can.
Interesting.
You know, I'm pretty good at this. I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah.
And then your mind will go, there's another thing I talk about called the terrorist. You have a terrorist in your brain that's constantly telling you, that's making you like afraid all the time.
Yeah.
That's something you have to look at and pull out and go, is that true? Is that true? Do I really suck? Okay. Yeah. Do I really suck? Mm-hmm. Do I? Let's look at the evidence. So now you get into a mental, emotional connection, cognitive behavioral therapy, cognitive behavioral techniques. Like you look and say, is this true? Do I suck?
Right.
If I suck, then how is all these good things happening? If I really sucked, so then it's like breaking. Let your mind think those, and then say, okay, let's see. Is it true? Do I suck? Am I a piece of crap? Right. I get to travel. I'm traveling from. I have great friends. I have great relationships. I love my job. So how do I really suck? You don't. There's no evidence for it. It's just this crazy thing that's happening. So it's like breaking that down. Meditation helps you see those things.
Because you actually stop and think for a second.
You're stopping
and don't think.
You're stopping and seeing the patterns. Yeah. You may not stop thinking. You may see the thoughts that you have. And then by breathing, you're starting to relax and doing the tense and relax, the thing that mm-hmm. we did, you're letting go of the physical tension. You're just letting yourself go, right? Even mm-hmm. right now, you don't want to do it. Your arms are crossed.
Oh, you're right. I didn't even notice that. My legs are crossed too.
Yeah, so it's your subconscious is like, this is no. This is not don't how relax. We do this.
Yeah.
This is not how we do this. We got to do this.
Yeah.
Right. So you cross your stomach,
yeah.
protecting this core part. You cross your legs.
So weird. I didn't even realize I did that.
Yeah, because we hit something that's like, this is core to who you think you are,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Oh my gosh. Do you break this down in the book?
Yeah.
So your beliefs are basically, you do need Western medicine, of course, but then also you need to supplement with these other things.
Do both.
To heal your body.
Do both.
And then you break it down with meditation, all of these things. And then what about food? Like, do you recommend a specific diet to people?
Okay. So, I mean, food is like, you know, I talk in public talks, people, all they ask about is food. Right.
Yeah.
At the end, they're like, well, what about greens? I'm like, greens are great.
Right.
Greens are great. Well, how much should I eat? I'm like,
right.
Enough.
Enough.
Everybody focuses on the physical,
yeah.
you know, and the physical is the result of other things deeper than that.
What do you mean?
Like, why are you eating what you're eating? Why do you eat so much of that? Why are you doing this? Why are you constantly, why do you have not enough time to eat that you're always eating McDonald's?
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm more focused on that. You want to go to a nutritionist, they can give you advice. I mean, granted, there's things you need to eat for like anti-cancer, high immunity stuff.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's, you know, I think it's Joel Furman. He has an acronym called G-BOMBS. That's good for pro-immunity. G is greens and green tea. B is berries. O is onions and garlic. M is mushrooms.
Okay.
B is beans. S is seeds.
Okay.
Raw seeds.
G-BOMBS. I like that.
Yeah, G-BOMBS. That's Joel Furman. It's not me. But so, you know, that's, yeah, you can put all those in, but you already know. I don't need to give you a diet to say eat more green salads.
Right.
Stop eating fried foods. Cut down on the red meat.
Right. You know? What about dairy?
Yeah. See, for me personally, I don't eat dairy.
I don't either.
Yeah. So people are like, well, what about my calcium? Well, actually, there's two studies showing that milk actually, over too much milk decreases your bone calcium.
There you go.
So that's why the milk lobby changed. I don't know if they're going to listen to this, but they changed their marketing from got good for your bones to got protein.
Oh, I didn't even know they did that.
Next time you see it, it says got protein.
Wow, because they can't claim that anymore.
It does have a lot of protein, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's other ways to get protein,
totally.
Though.
Totally.
Right, but, you know, I'm also big on, like, look, I don't, that's the thing. I told you about the data about 6 months and changing one habit. Only 30%, even with a heart attack, can change. So what about somebody who doesn't have that, like, oh my God, I almost died.
Right.
So I'm saying make a small change. Once you make a small one, your body will be like, oh, this isn't that bad. Okay, what if you decide right now, say I want to do like 5 minutes of meditation, whatever.
Well, I was going to try to aim for 7, but I just start small?
Start small. I start with a minute. I couldn't do a minute.
Really? You can, because that's why I'm like, I'm not going to do it.
So set a timer for a minute.
Okay.
Do a minute for 2 weeks.
Two times a day, a minute?
Or just whatever you can
Maybe
do.
Maybe I'll just try for a minute
for
in
a
the
minute,
morning
one,
and
yeah.
see if I can do it.
Just
for 2 weeks.
Yeah, just for 2 weeks. Okay. And then I'll do 2 minutes.
How long do they say it takes to form a habit? Do you know?
Google
it.
There's different, it takes a long time to change habits. No question about it. But you can, if you start small, and that the problem is people try to do too much.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're going to change your diet, for example, don't cut out dairy. I don't say cut out things. I say add things.
Okay.
So if you're really, your diet's really horrible, you know, then eat a carrot a day. Just eat
one
carrot.
Yeah.
Just, or baby carrot. Get a bag of baby carrots. Eat one
a
day. Until the bag is gone. Okay, that wasn't that bad. Then maybe I'll have a small salad with lunch.
Right.
Then do 2 weeks of that.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard, though, to do that.
Right.
You're going to forget because your body's going to be like, you know what? Should I have a small salad or French fries? They're the same price. I can add a small salad or fries. That's a big decision if you're at lunch. Fries are good. Sweet potato fries.
So good.
Right? So for me, I'm kind of like, okay, I'll have fries once a week, but I'm going to have a salad with it.
Right.
So then I always have a sale. I'll always do a sale.
Yeah. So when does your book actually come out? It's not out yet, right?
It's not out yet. People want to get on my mailing list. It's coming out. I'll have audiobook, ebook, and book. If you go to thehousesofhealth.com, you can get on my mailing list, and then I'll send you the link. And or you can just, if you put, that's probably the best way, thehousesofhealth.com right now. And then I have an Instagram page, Healing Before Cure.
Okay.
And then I have a Facebook page, Healing Before Cure. So I'm on both of those things. So
amazing.
They're just all launching now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super exciting.
Thank you.
So, because I was going to ask you, what do you recommend for a person who's not sick or struggling? Like, what is the best tip you would give somebody? But I think it's just start small, right?
It starts small.
Yeah.
And pick the area. So, like, my paradigm has four houses: physical, mental, emotional, spiritual.
Okay.
If you're already exercising and doing... then you don't need to worry about that.
Right.
Pick a house that you don't do anything about.
Yeah.
So for example, like say you're already talking meditation. Do 1 minute.
Yeah.
For 2 weeks. Do 1 minute.
Start. I'm already dreading it. Like the second you say it, I get anxiety.
Yeah, that's fine.
God.
So that means you need it.
That? I guess so. Probably.
Go towards the fear.
Ugh, lean in, right? That's what they all say. What was the last thing I wanted to ask you? When does your book come out? Oh, we were going to talk about like where people can go donate, because this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month in October. And so that was why I wanted to have you on today, since that's what you deal a lot with.
Right.
Where do you recommend people go donate, or if they want to give back? Because obviously breast cancer has like taken over our world.
Yes. There's, one organization I like is called Helen's Room.
Okay.
It's called Helen's Room. You can go to helensroom.com. They're a nonprofit. You can tax deduct, but they basically have a room where women can go in and get styled for hair loss if they go through chemotherapy. They get wigs, they can get hats, they can get scarves, they can get whatever they want. And I think it's a really cool way of turning, like making lemonade out of lemons. So that's helensroom.com. I think that's great.
Yeah, just to give back in that way.
Yeah.
Because they have tons of research happening already, right?
Sure. Yeah. There's a lot of, absolutely. There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So I'm going to try to say your name one more time. Dr. Vong Thama.
Yes.
Got it. Nailed it. Thank you so much for doing this.
You're welcome.
It was so interesting. I could talk to you all day about this stuff. I'm going to practice my meditating. I'll keep you guys posted. All right. Thanks for listening. And everybody go check out Dr. Vong Thama. Bye.